Good morning. Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm Rayshan Mayer. Thank you for joining us this morning. As always, this is the program where we talk about our critters, our companions, our commerce and agriculture, and all of the connections between them. This morning, our guest joining us is going to talk about everything from horses to flat tires to how to fix them. Good morning.
Good morning.
So who are you and why are you here?
My name is Todd Johnson, and I'm here, like you said, to talk about everything from horses to flat tires and how to fix them. I own a horsemanship facility in Berryville, Virginia, called J-Bit Ranch, where we tend to have about 40 horses at any given time. We focus on boarding lessons, training, and have miles and miles of trails to ride here. And in the process of building that ranch over the last 22 years, I've accumulated about 75 tires on various pieces of equipment that like to go flat a lot.
No. And, in Berryville and rocks? No.
I'm becoming sort of a self-taught expert on fixing tires. And over the years, the one breakdown that I really just couldn't do anything about was a busted valve stems, and I've had dozens of them, and they never happen sitting in your shop. They never happen sitting in your driveway. They happen on the side of the highway with horses in the trailer, or they happen out in the field with heavy equipment on your tractor. And when you bust a valve stem, you're just dead, and there was nothing you could do but take the tire off the machine, haul it to a shop, have them use big hydraulic equipment to break the bead between the rubber tire and the metal rim, just so they could pop a new valve stem in from the inside of the rim, put the whole thing back together, haul it home, remount it on your equipment, and only then could you get back to work. So, you know, best case scenario, a little tire, you were down for half a day and you're out $20 or $30. If it was one of the big tires on your tractor, maybe a fluid fill tire, you might be down for a couple of days, and it might be $400 to have a service truck come get you out of the field. If you were in the midst of trying to get a hay crop in before it rained and you missed the rain, that valve stem may cost you thousands of dollars. So, during a specific incident, I created a push-in tire valve stem that you can pop right back in your tire right where you sit broke down. You tighten it down, you top off the air, and you drive away. It's a 30-second install in about 3 minutes from flat to driving.
And there's no baling twine involved.
No baling twine. No baling twine. No duct tape. No WD-40.
Wow. Okay. We're going to have to get there. So how did you get to Berryville? Because there was a honeymoon involved here that got you off and running.
There was a honeymoon. I met my wife when she actually hired me for a job. And I tease her because I don't know how qualified I was for the job, so I think she was interviewing for a husband. But we were yuppies in Reston, in a townhouse, doing that lifestyle. But our passion was always horses. Every free moment we had, we went and rode horses together. And so when I realized I couldn't live without her and popped the question and we got married, we went to Aruba on our honeymoon.
Okay, so hang on. We got to go back here. You were in Reston, Virginia in a townhouse.
Correct.
And what kind of lifestyle was that? Had to be a very different kind of lifestyle.
Well, it was. I mean, we were a lot younger then than we are now. So, you know, it was a great starter life. But we realized real quick that we didn't want to share a wall with our neighbors for the rest of our lives. And so, you know, every chance we get, we were either out, you know, country dancing, or there used to be a place where you could just go rent horses by the hour and go riding. And so that's what we did every chance we got. We both had a real passion for horses. We spent as much time in the saddle as we could.
Wow. And then, okay, so you get married and you head to Aruba.
So we get married, we head to Aruba, and what do we do in Aruba? But we go riding. And Aruba's a pretty awesome island. The southern side is just everything Caribbean that you think of, snorkeling and reefs and blue water and calm and sun and sand. The north side of the island is like the moon. It's this lava basalt kind of landscape. There's huge cliffs, and the ocean on that side is just violent and huge waves just splashing up and crashing on the cliffs. And so we went riding Pasofino's out of a ranch there with a group, with a guide and all that stuff. And we got about 2 miles out from the ranch, and the guide got down to help somebody adjust a stirrup or something, and his horse jerked loose, the lead rope snapped, and the horse took off.
Oh, no.
And the poor guy is just standing there, just kind of wide-eyed, didn't know what to do. So here I am on this little horse in my swim trunks, my surf shoes, and a bag of snorkeling gear on my back.
And if anybody's seen a Pasofino gate, this is even a funnier picture.
Yeah, and I'm a big guy, too, little horse. And so we took off after his horse, and I said, if I can't catch him, I'll drive him back to the ranch. So anyway, that got to be a wild ride, flying across the northern Aruba landscape, jumping cactus and chasing this horse, and we got him herding on back to the ranch. And my wife kind of kept the group together, and the guide had to walk back. And anyway, so that was a pretty exciting time. And so on the plane coming home after this just amazing trip, I said to my wife, God, don't you wish we were flying home to our own ranch full of horses? And she looked at me and she said, yeah. And I did a double take. I said, do you really mean that? She said, yeah. I said, no. I said, we're going to start some kind of life together. Would you like to start that life with me? And she said, yes. And so we got home and I hit it like 40 dogs. Every breathing second was looking for farms. And interestingly enough, she kept showing me this tiny little bitty one-inch picture of this crooked house. And I never just wanted to go look at it. And in the meantime, we actually ended up buying horses, and they happened to be out here in the Berryville area. And
it's a beautiful area.
It's a beautiful area. And while we were looking all over, the only places that interested us were all in this Berryville area. But after about six fruitless months, I said, you know, this is getting crazy. We need to take a break. And she pops out that little picture. She goes, I called, and it's on the way to the horses. Let's stop in, and if we don't like it, then we'll take a break. And as soon as we turned in the driveway, I knew I was home.
Uh-oh.
And we had prayed on the plane for about 50 acres of rolling land and a little stream running through it, and it was 50 acres of rolling land with a little stream running through it.
Answers.
So, yeah, answered prayers, absolutely. And, you know, as soon as I got out of the way, the Lord managed to provide what he had promised us on that plane 6 months prior.
The getting out of the way part's the hardest.
Getting out of the way part's the hardest. Yeah, lean not into my own understanding. So it was quite prophetic that our first day on the ranch was April Fool's Day. Now we just had our 22nd April Fool's Day this month.
Congratulations. And so you turned this not only into a ranch, but a place to educate horses who've had a hard time.
Correct. And, we didn't set out with that goal in mind. It just kind of led us there. My wife had just started a new job with a new company. And 6 months after we bought this farm, that company started going under. And they let go most of the staff. She was new. And so here we are a year into a new marriage, 6 months into a new ranch, and my wife has no job.
Ouch.
But some of the neighbors had asked if she would give their kids riding lessons, and she was doing that. And so we decided to let her make a go of that. And so she really actually started the Javit Ranch with riding lessons, and she's phenomenal with the children, and she's just got a wonderful way about her. We've taught thousands of kids to ride over the years. And so I started acquiring horses for that purpose and started realizing that horse dealers weren't always giving me horses with our best interests in mind.
It became horse trading, huh?
Yes. And so I was bringing home horses that I thought we'd be able to get riding lessons on, and I could barely stay on them. And
oh my.
I started having to figure some stuff out. So also about that time, I realized that my mentor was not the sweet, kind, natural horseman that I thought. I watched him teach a horse to lay down by whipping his legs until the horse went to the ground, and I didn't want any part of that. And there was no YouTube video I could follow. I started this kind of quest for a more natural way to be with horses and started having some success. I bought a John Lyons round pen and started using that type of a method, and it started working out. I started really having a lot of success with horses. They started relating to me. I related to them, and horses that came in troubled in short order were starting to get really solid and really dependable, and people noticed, and one friend told another, and so on and so on. And next thing you know, I kind of started getting a name for helping problem horses.
So how did you get into gated horses?
Well, the very first horses we bought were gated horses, and that was just plumb accident. I went and looked at this big, gorgeous chestnut horse, and I was about to get on him, And the guy said, have you ever ridden a Tennessee walking horse before? And I said, oh, what? I said, this is a Tennessee walking horse? He said, yeah. I said, no, I'm not interested in that. I'm a cowboy, man. I want a quarter horse. And he said, well, suit yourself. If you drove all this way, you ought to at least ride him. And I owned that horse for 17 years until the day he died. And I really credit everything I've done with horses to that horse, the Colonel. He was tougher than me. He was smarter than me, but he was smooth as glass, and he had a heart bigger than the whole great outdoors. And he knew when to reward me, and he knew when to punish me, and he knew what to take from me and what not to take from me. And he taught me a ton, and he taught me a love for gated horses. And we've had hundreds since then. I've worked with thousands, and they've really become my love.
We have gated horses ourselves, and my daughter, being 17, has had some gentlemen come ride with us to go out. And all the gentlemen are like, we don't think we ever want to ride horses because we would like to have a family one day. And they get on those gated horses, and it's like, oh, this isn't so bad. We guys can actually ride these.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't get your teeth knocked out of your back now.
Yeah, you don't have. Yeah, you don't have to change your fillings. And you know, I've got an old man's back. I treated my body like a rental for too many years. I've beat it up. Mm-mm. And if I had to ride trotting horses, I think I'd have been out of business a long time ago.
Absolutely.
So I ride my gated horses mile after mile in comfort.
Oh yes, we get a lot of the folks out there, and I guess I'm biased, but yes, those gated horses, those are my favorites. So you've been on the farms, you've done all this kind of stuff, and when we come back, let's talk about how this and everything you've been doing led up to this valve stem invention.
Yes, ma'am. Can't wait.